Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
We have liftoff. Thank you. Got that. All right, great. We heard a lot already. Worship was awesome. You guys are awesome. I mean, really spectacular. I am so excited to be here. I'm so excited about the future. I love the way Dave let it off. That was a message in itself. I mean, yeah, you look around. If you let outside circumstances dictate how you're going to respond or what you're going to do and put your life on hold until things get ready, you're not going to move forward in life. But look at those examples of people. That's just amazing stuff, right? Amazing. And today, those of you who are online, we're going to have Holy Communion at the end. So, you know, you can get some bread and some wine or grape juice and be ready for that while I'm speaking. So, I want to say one other thing. Dave's not going to like this, though. But did you know, fun fact here, that our senior pastor ran the New York City Marathon last week? Made it like 4 hours or something. I know he's not going to like that. I'm going to get it later from him, but that's a major accomplishment. I thought about running a marathon multiple times, but I never did it. He actually did it. He's a steadfast guy, and that's something that we're going to talk about today too. Wow, so many things. This message kind of goes pretty good with what Pastor Sue mentioned last week when about being called and following God's calling and God being with you no matter where you are, right? So I was thinking about this being connected. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there's one, this guy Danny Silk, he has this thing called Keeping Your Love On. He always talks about connection, and even in marriage or whatever relationship, that connection is really important. But the ultimate connection is our connection with the Lord. So, and this is the vine and the branches. I love this. This is the way we should be. So it says here, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Anybody going through pruning right now? Pruning could be come in a lot of different ways. It could be just you're up against something, right? And I think the ultimate job of pruning is really to refocus you, to make sure you're back on track, keeping your eyes on the Lord at all times. I'm not going to speak about pruning today, but that's a little side note there. But that's really important. We all go through pruning, and that's how you grow, right? And even if you know anything about, like, if you've ever visited a winery and you go on a tour, and they're always pruning the vines because they bear more fruit. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? You got to cut the branches back, and it'll grow more and it'll produce more fruit. But that's the way it works. And I guess it's the same thing with us. We always got to be looking at cutting off stuff that shouldn't be on us because it's so easy to get stuff on us that shouldn't be on us, right? I mean, you're just like, living in this world, there's always things that are being thrown on you, whether you're listening to the news and the negative stuff going on, or, you know, you're talking to people and you know, there's Debbie Downers all over the place, right? Or you could be getting pulled into things that are not righteous living, right? Just, it's so easy, right? I was listening on a positive note, right? I've heard people say, oh, like, everybody in politics are, you know, a bunch of louses, and they're all, like, you know, evil and blah, blah, blah. I've heard people say that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't believe that because I know some people. So me and Ronnie were listening to a podcast on the way driving yesterday, and this guy, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, thank you. He wrote a book about manhood, and he was talking about it. It sounded like a preacher when he was speaking. I mean, it was like, this guy was like, you could tell, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, that's pretty awesome. And he didn't really care what everybody else was saying about it. Like, you know, the liberal press or whatever, they think men should be wishy-washy or even not even be a man, right? Change your identity completely or even your sex, even though that's not possible, but change the way you look for sure. And he was like, no, men should be, you know, strong. They should be, you know, providers and protectors. And this is the way that they should be living. So I was really, that's a nice little side note that there are righteous people in government. And we're praying for even more righteous people to come in government, right? So the pruning process is important. And then let's move on. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's interesting, the word. Just hearing God's word cleanses you. Amen. Jesus' word. You read his word, and it, like, you know, it helps you identify things that should come off, but that also that should come in, right? Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There's an if there, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So, you know, interesting part about this is that Jesus demonstrated the way we should live on earth, right? And his relationship with his heavenly Father is the same relationship we should have too, right? He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So if we're not connected into the vine, the source, the life, we're good for nothing. You know, you can accomplish a lot of things in this world, and it's hollow if it's not, if it doesn't have a kingdom perspective to it, if it's not connected to God's purposes, right? So you must remain in the vine. You have to stay connected. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what does that connection look like, and what does it feel like, and how does it manifest itself? But the key here is that we need to come to the conclusion that our connection with the Lord is the most important thing, period. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
Because if you get that right, all these other things will be added unto you. Dave shared a scripture through text message this morning. It was about King Solomon. And remember when King Solomon, can you imagine God saying, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. Ask it. And what did he ask for, right? And he was a young king at that time, and he probably was feeling, oh, my father David built this really good kingdom, and now I'm taking over. And he probably felt really intimidated by it. But so what was his request? He could have asked for riches. He could have asked that his enemies would get destroyed. But he asked for wisdom, right, so that he would be a good ruler. Right, in essence, that's what he asked for. And then God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for all of these other things, your enemies to be destroyed, I'm going to give you that too. And we know that he was like the most wealthiest, unbelievable king ever. So that's, you know, when you're connected to the source, your motives and your requests are going to be right, like what Solomon did when he had that. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Just like the Solomon thing, right? Ask, and this is who's he speaking to right now? Speaking to us, right? And not just Solomon, he's speaking to us. You know, it's interesting, like it almost sounds like, you know, a genie in a magic lamp, right? You rub them out, and you get three wishes. You could ask whatever you want, right? But it's kind of interesting. It says that ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So you know you could wish for some crazy stuff, right? You could wish your enemies to be dead. You could wish for, you know, a big old mansion or a Rolls Royce or something like that. But you know what? If you're connected to the vine, you're not going to be wishing for crazy stuff like that. It's going to be those things that are kingdom mindset stuff. That's fruitful stuff. That's going to bear much fruit because that's the ultimate intent of what the Lord wants. Because he right after that, he says, ask whatever you want. It'll be done to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. So anything that you ask for is going to result in bearing much fruit if you're connected to the vine. Showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Again, he's demonstrating, you know, the same relationship with the Father. And then that's the same relationship we should be demonstrating with him and to everybody around us, right? Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. What is his commands? Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. The word remain is kind of one that jumped out on me when I was studying this. Remain, it's the steadfastness. It's that day-to-day, moment-to-moment connection with God, right? That you're remaining in it. And how do you remain in God's love? How do you do this, you know? It's really your heart's intent, your desires, your focus, your contemplation, the way you live day in and day out, what you eat in spiritually, you know, feeding your soul. That's what remaining is. And if you're not remaining, you know, a branch on its side without being connected to the vine, it withers and dies and dries up. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, you could be joyful no matter what the circumstances are. You know, as Apostle Paul said, right, I've learned to be content whether hot lifted up or down. You know, he was in prison, you know, singing praises to God. No matter where you are, you could be joyful, and that's what God's intent is. Remain in his love. If you remain in his love, connected to the vine, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I think a complete joy is something that's an overflowing of us in every interaction that we have. That's what a complete joy looks like. So here's a little picture of a fruitful vine and branches and grapes. You see those big luscious grapes over there, right? That's the fruit that we should be manifesting in the spirit, right? But if you take one of those branches that have those grapes on, you cut it off and you put it down on the ground, what's going to happen? It's not connected to the vine anymore. It's going to wither and die. You know, recently there's been like, you know, prominent people in the church who have like done some crazy off-the-wall stuff, like really dragging the Lord's name in the mud. And I believe that that doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly, right? And if you're not constantly asking yourself, am I connected to the vine in the way that I should be, then you're capable of those same type of things, right? Of falling into that same deep sin and manifesting it. You know, it's the old boiling frog in the boiling water, you know, thing. He doesn't know it until he's cooked. You know, while it's happening, you have to do that. That's what this reminder is that's in the scripture about being connected to the Lord. So we are to bear much fruit. This is God's command, that you love one another, each other, as I have loved you. We used to sing a song, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your love may be full, something like that, right? That's a good reminder there, too. And, you know, these songs, like Dave said, wake up in the morning with a song. That's a good song to have in you, right? Reminding yourself of God's command, that I have to love one another. I need to love one another. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I guess that's something we should really pay attention to. The word command, right? It's not suggestion. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. You know what God's about? It's a good question to ask yourself. What are you about, God? What do you want me to be about right now? It's not a mystery, right? Because we are his friends. That's another song, too. I'm a friend of God, right? He calls me friend. I like that. A servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Again, it's that relationship with God that he has, that he demonstrated, that we need to have too. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Did you know you're chosen? The reason you're here today is God chose you. Why don't you just say that? I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. You're one of the chosen. Congratulations. God chose us. It's like that series, The Chosen, right? This is where it came from. You know, we are chosen. God chose us. It's an amazing thing, and I'm so thankful. We all should be so thankful. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So it's good that you're chosen, but you guess what? You got a job to do, and your job is to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Two shall agree on a thing, it shall be done, right, is another scripture verse. Again, here's another promise, right? Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Yesterday we were praying for that man Jared, lots of people, and God gave us he gave us that answer to prayer. That's bearing much fruit, right? Like when a call comes out for prayer, you don't just take it lightly, you actually do it, and you earnestly seek and ask for God, and you plead with him. This is my commandment, that you love each other. It's a heavy lift, but it's something that we have to do. Loving one another is super critical to bearing much fruit. What is the fruit? What's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's fruit that will remain, right? Love, joy, and peace. Always let it be in me and manifesting in me. That's what I want. What does this look like when you're connected to God? And how should we be? Like, how do you know that you have this connection with God in the proper manner? Well, this is one of the ways Jesus was speaking. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Living waters. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Have you received the Holy Spirit, right? I remember in the scriptures when Apollos, he was a mighty evangelist and preacher. And he's like, "Well, have you received the Holy Spirit yet?" And he goes, I haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit. What's a Holy Spirit?" And here he was preaching, what have you been baptized to? "I've been baptized to John's baptism for remission of sins, for forgiveness of sins." But there's another baptism too. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you accept God, the Holy Spirit enters you. But there's more. there's actually the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where you could manifest by speaking in unknown tongues, glorifying God. And so if I have this really great connection with God, out of his heart will flow, it could be some water, it's rivers. River. Think of a river, right? Not a stream, not a trickle. Rivers of living water. What do rivers of living water look like? I think rivers of living water look like when you walk into a room, people feel a presence, you know, and it's God's presence inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, manifesting. And when you open your mouth and you talk to somebody, the presence of God is like going out and just encouraging people. Remember what we spoke about, like looking for the gold in people, you know, calling out. I see this in you. Everybody's got something good in them, right? And you could call it out. Like, I see this in you. You know, I really like that about you. And it makes people really feel good. That's rivers of living water. I mean, people, after they interact with you, they should feel positive. They should feel like, wow, I feel uplifted. I feel encouraged. I feel, you know, different, you know, because I've interacted with this person who the living waters are just flowing out of this person everywhere they go. That's the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And it's able for all of you because all of you are chosen. And the reason you're here is because you are chosen. So how do you get this connection? And how do you guard your heart that the connection is not going to be broken? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How does the Spirit of God get into you? You ask for forgiveness. Lord, come into me. Jesus, right? If you prayed that prayer, and everybody in here should have prayed that prayer. If you didn't, you should. Just say, Jesus, I believe who you are. I believe who you said you are. Come into my heart. I want you inside of me. And that's how the Spirit enters you. That's how the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, right? And there is a power, that same power, think about this, that same power that raised Jesus up from the dead 3 days when he was in, is available for you, Emmy, and all of us. I mean, that's amazing. Sometimes I think we think less of ourselves than we ought to, and we really, you know, have this power. It's available to us, and we need to recognize this power and the authority that we have when we're walking, you know, through. Like Dave mentioned about Deborah praying or singing about, you know, her enemies, right? That's authority, right? That she had authority, and she knew the power of God that's in her. Sometimes we react too timidly to circumstances around us, as opposed to understanding who we are in Christ. Because we are the chosen. we are. And the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. Why don't you just say that with me? The Spirit of God dwells inside of me. Spirit of God dwells inside of me. He does. Because you are chosen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Think about this. The carnal mind is against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. All right, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world right now, and that's manifesting right now. Like, the people are marching in the streets for people who committed horrendous crimes and murder. And people are rejoicing because, I don't know if you guys paid attention to this most recent election, but Ohio voted for putting abortion into their state constitution, and people are cheering. That is enmity against God. Their minds can't even comprehend how horrible it is. That they've gotten so much of a callous on their heart that they can't even receive the truth or even see the truth. I mean, we know God does miracles. We've seen, you know, that the hardest heart can be softened. But that's the carnal mind, the mind that's looking at things from Satan's perspective as opposed to from God's perspective. Guard your hearts against something like that you're not thinking that way and calling evil good and good evil. How do you judge that? I'll tell you, one of the ways to judge it is by thinking about John 10:10, where Jesus said the thief comes into the world to what? Steal, kill, and destroy, whatever the sequence is. It's destruction. All those people that are marching are are marching for kill, steal, and destroy. And I don't know what their end game is, what they want. I mean, they want to see more kill, steal, and destroy, you know, in Israel, I guess. That's what their end game is. But you got to guard your heart that you're not, you know, blinded by these things and getting called into this. And we just, right now, Lord, we just pray that you bind up the spirit of enmity against God, that you will just open the eyes, that scales will be removed, like it happened to the Apostle Paul when he had those scales removed from his eyes. Let the scales be removed from the eyes of the people, Lord, and that they'll be able to see and to hear properly. For it's not subject to the law of God. They're not subject to the law of God because they don't care about God. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there's no pleasing God when you do those things, right? For to be carnally minded is death. So there's consequences, right, for the way we think. It's consequences for who we align with. There's consequences for those things. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody here want to sign up for life and peace? I'm with it. I'm here. I want life and peace. That's what I want. Be spiritually minded, constantly checking yourself. You know, motives matter, right? Like, why am I doing this? Why did I react that way? God, get that out of me. Put the right thing in here. Help me, forgive me. I had my daughter's car. It's the fourth time that the same thing that's wrong, the airbag on the driver's side, right? And I got her a car that, you know, I thought was going to be really safe. And the fourth time I'm having to bring it back to service. And I was talking to the guy yesterday, the service man, and I'm like, who's in charge of this place? I want to talk to the person who's in charge of the dealership because this is going to be now the fourth time. And I got this car and the airbag's not working. And, you know, and I was like, I checking myself while I was saying it because I was starting to get, you know, agitated. And I'm like, I'm sorry if I'm being like, you know, I was catching myself, right? Probably a couple of years ago, I would have just like lashed out at the guy and said, you know, think I'm going to get better results by being nasty, right? Which is not true, right? And I don't know where that thought comes from, too. I know where it comes from. It's a carnal thought, right? That's not a spiritual thought. I still can get the same results if I'm speaking, you know, kindly to people. And I'm telling them that I'm upset, and they understood, the service guy understood that I was upset, but I was catching myself while I was talking because I felt it. You know, I'm like, this isn't good. You're going down the wrong path here, Owl. You like, you know, get spiritually minded. Yeah. And it was when I was preparing this message too. So yeah. It would really be bad if I went down that early. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What's the righteous requirement of the law? Love, joy, peace, gentleness. You know, that's the righteous requirements of the law. I was thinking about that. What does that mean? The righteous requirements of the law. Well, it's that those awesome stuff. Love, joy, peace, all that stuff might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. You guys walk according to the Spirit. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. It was the ultimate sacrifice. That's what we're going to be celebrating and remembering at the end of this service when we take Holy Communion together. He condemned sin in the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Say it, I am free. I am free. You are free. Shackles have been broken. Chains have been released. Your get out of jail free card. You know, I mean, you're free from the law of sin and death. Are you thankful for that today? I'm thankful for that. I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the spiritual law of life and freedom and liberty. You know why? Because there's now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And how are you in Christ Jesus? If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you're in Christ Jesus. You might have fell back a little, get back on track, and you know you're not one who is condemned. You are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why we're here today, is encourage one another to walk according to the Spirit and to stay connected to God and remove these things that should not be on us and always constantly be checking yourself. Now, you know, at work, we sometimes talk about derailers, right? Like, what's going to derail me from achieving this goal or actually to becoming the best, you know, I possibly can, right? So we say, well, what is a possible derailer? Well, here's a possible derailer for not being spiritually minded. Or, you know, you can be carnally minded. So prodigal son, right? Hey, dad, give me my inheritance right now. Son, I don't think that's a good idea. Now I want it. Okay, here you go. I'm sure every day he was praying for his son. Lord, deliver him. Don't let him do stupid stuff. And he did stupid stuff, of course, right? What did he say? He lived riotous living, right? Riotous living, wasted all his money on riotous living. And then when he came to his senses and, you know, he was eating pig's food, he said, even a servant in my father's house got better than this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, I'm going to be a servant in your house. So take note of the condition of his heart. Was it repentant? Here's what he said. This is the son now when he's finally coming back to the father. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Now, that sounds like a repentant person, doesn't it? It sounds like somebody who really meant that they knew that they messed up, and they're coming back to father. And this is an analogy of God, of us and God, right? When we come to our senses and say, I've sinned, Lord, forgive me, I want to follow you. But while he was still a long way off, I was thinking about this. So can you imagine, say standing on a hill, right, and you're looking out, or it's like I work in New York City, right, and I'm in upper buildings, and I'm looking down, and people look like they're this big, you know, looking, the cars are like this big, you know, and so imagine like the father saw on the horizon somebody walking, but he knew his son that much. He loved his son that much. He could even see the way he's moving. That's my son. And then what did he do? He started running. He was filled with compassion for him. And that's God to us, right? He loves us that much that, you know, even though we messed up in the most royalist way, he runs towards us, right? He ran to his son, threw his arms around his son, and kissed him. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The son said to him, you know, he probably put this in his mind. How am I going to say this to my father? Because I'm sure he ain't going to want me, you know, because I squandered all of my inheritance. Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe, because he must have looked pretty nasty, right? if they're living with pigs, right? Put it on him, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. He didn't even have sandals. He probably sold them for something too, maybe for a drink or something like that, right? Put a ring on his finger, bring the fattened calf, kill it, let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Everybody in the household celebrated, the servants, everybody who was there. Meanwhile, all right, this is really a good scene, isn't this? Like an awesome scene. Like, we thought he was dead. You know, this he came back. I can't believe it. We've been praying for this. God, it's a miracle. Meanwhile, the older brother's like, hey, what's that noise? I hear some music and dancing. So we call one of his servants. Hey, buddy, what's going on? Your brother has come. He replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has come. This is awesome. And you expect let's go and celebrate my brother. I can't believe it. This is great. This is awesome. The older brother became angry. You know, here, put this in the column. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because he wrecked himself. His mindset was carnally minded, right? He was not connected to the Father, right? This is a derailer of connection, right? He was angry and refused to go in. So the Father, being the Father, he loves all his sons. So he went out and said, hey, what's going on, man? Come on, your brother. He answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, the brother. I'm sure he was really slaving for him, right? And never disobeyed your orders. This is good. This is good stuff. Great. That's awesome. Yet you never even gave me a goat. I'm sure he could have had one if he wanted it. So I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, hear that? This son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, bad, like a lot of bad mindsets in this guy, right? This son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. He's accusing God, right? You did this. It's like, I don't want you to show mercy to anybody else. You know, why? Basically, it's the mindset, oh, you messed up, so, you know, he should be in prison, or, you know, he just thought the worst thing should have happened to him. Then what did the father said? My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, connection there, right? The connection is with God, but it's also with the family. It's with, you know, those who are closest to you. Never cut off family members, you know, even if they cut you off. Don't you be the reason for the disconnection, all right? Side note here, good thing here. But we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate. You celebrate when somebody comes to Christ, right? Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So, you know, what we have to guard ourselves against this older brother mindset, right? And make sure you're not thinking that way. Here's some scriptures to back up the right way to think. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Something good happened. Don't say, why did it happen to him, not me? And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. You know, don't think yourself better than others. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't think like you know it all, you know. So, you know, it's a really good quality. When you see something good happen to somebody, rejoice with them, right? Of course, the mourning part too. But we're looking at this from this context of the older brother. Repay no one evil for evil. So somebody wronged you, you know, I mean, pretty much every movie out there is like a revenge movie, right? You got to get the person back who did the bad thing to you. Do not repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Even people who you disagree with, you know, or you know, who are doing crazy stuff and supporting things that are contrary to God. All right, so when you do this stuff, when you're connected to God, this is what happens. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, they will stay fresh and green. Connected to God, you flourish. Connected to God, you're righteous, right? Because you're righteous through his righteousness. One last verse here. Proverbs 11. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. When I was listening to this, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. A green leaf. Because those leaves, that picture I showed you, they were all green. You know, the fruit was like beautiful. And when you're connected to God and you don't have these derailers in your life and you're not living a carnal, thinking carnally, right? You're spiritually minded. You will thrive like a green leaf. Say that one. I will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind. That's nothing. And the fool will be the servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. Anybody want to sign up for that? I do. I want to be that. I want to be like that, those grapes. I want to look good. Right? I want to look good, juicy. The fruit of spirit, you know, flowing through me. So we need to stay connected. I got a couple of declarations, if you could say it with me together. Yeah, if you guys want to stand and we say it, and then you guys can sit after this and we'll have Holy Communion together. Okay, ready? We'll say it together. My connection with God is my number one priority. I am going to flourish no matter what. I will bear much fruit because of my connection with him. I am a friend of God and chose to lead with love. Amen. All right, you guys can sit down now. We're going to have Holy Communion.